Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Jeremiah chapter 17 and reading verses 19 to 27. Jeremiah chapter 17. Beginning to read at verse 19. Thus the Lord said to me, "Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, 'Hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates.' Thus says the Lord, 'Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, and to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, and from the lowland, from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we continue our reflections on the Sabbath day. One more next Sunday before we move on. And the reason why we spend a little more time looking at the Sabbath is because the Lord takes the Sabbath very seriously, as is indicated by the passage before us this evening. And why is that? I mean, why would God add to this command this kind of note, whereby he sends his prophet to stand in the gates of Jerusalem? I mean, he didn't say go to some village or to some other city. No, no. Jerusalem. Go to all the gates of Jerusalem. And this is what you're to say. Not only to the people, not only to the king, not only to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, but of all the towns, all the people of Judah. I want everyone to hear this message. A message both of blessing and also of curses. In other words, if they obey, what will happen? And if they disobey, the consequences that will follow. And surely those words still sting in our ears. "And it shall not be quenched." So God takes it very seriously. And the reason that he does is because it's the true pulse of the spiritual condition of God's people. Sabbath observance is a true pulse of the spiritual condition of God's people. Because if we disregard the Lord's day, if we go our way and do our own thing on the Lord's day, then we show a certain affront to Him, an insult to Him. After all that the Sabbath represents, as we reflected last week, the creation of God, the deliverance of God, the resurrection that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, if all of those things become so inconsequential to us that they don't demand our attention by way of keeping the Sabbath and reflecting on those promises, then indeed our spiritual condition is in very low place. And sad to say, if that is the case, if it is true that Sabbath observance gives us a true condition, the pulse of our spiritual condition, then certainly in today's environment, we have a very low pulse. We have a very low pulse. Because the Lord's Day has become like any other day. We've become minimalists. As long as we attend church once, that's it. As long as we go to church once, that's it. We think that we have kept the Sabbath. But that isn't what the Word of God says. That isn't what the commandment says. The commandment doesn't say, go and worship God on the seventh day. I mean, that's not what it says. It says to keep the Sabbath day holy. And so we've reduced it to something that is convenient for us. Many churches, of course, only have one service. So people don't have to feel guilty if they don't come to the second service because there is only one. But it didn't used to be that way. Not at all. But we've got accustomed to it. And not only is that the case, generally, but even in Reformed, conservative churches, the tendency is to go in that direction. And so, it is an area that we need to stress. It is an area that we need, like the prophet, to take our stand and to speak to the people and to speak to the leaders that they take seriously the Sabbath command, to keep the Sabbath day holy. And certainly, the commandment lays out certain things that we ought to take care of in terms of refraining, which is what occupies us most of the days of our life, which is that we work, that we earn a living. We go to our employment. And that has to stop. That's what the prophet is there for. No one is to carry a burden into Jerusalem. In fact, Nehemiah was told to go. He went to impress that upon Jerusalem. And what he found was that people started waiting outside, like lining up a day before, waiting. And he drove them from Jerusalem's gates. And they weren't to stay there. They weren't to come and camp overnight, as it were, so that they can get an early start the next day. No. No, to refrain from work is important in terms of keeping the Sabbath day. And so we have, first and foremost then, that we have to give the Sabbath day our full attention. We have to give it our full attention. And one of the ways that we to do that, we're to refrain from work, as the command itself so explicitly states, both in Exodus 20, also in Jeremiah 17, also in Isaiah. The Sabbath day includes, it's a negative, of course, but a lot of the commandments are negative, as we pointed out before. You have to stop doing what God doesn't want you to do before you can do what he wants you to do. We have to stop killing before we can start loving someone. This is the same. Before you can engage in what you ought to be engaging in on the Sabbath day, you have to stop what you're doing. You have to stop breaking the Sabbath. You have to start working and doing your own, what you think, your work. And by the way, it's not just work. It's not just work. Because people think, well, I don't go to work on Sunday, so I'm keeping the Sabbath. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's like somebody saying, well, I didn't kill someone today, so I've kept that command. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You just stopped doing the negative. But there's a positive that God wants you to do. He wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. He wants you to defend your neighbor, not just refrain from killing him. So it is with the Sabbath command. It's not just stop working. I mean, if you don't stop working, you can't get to the positive. But it's not just stopping working. But that's where it starts. If we can't even make that step, we can't make any progress. If I don't stop killing, I'll never get to loving my neighbor, will I? No point in taking me to that step. If I lie about my neighbor, if I steal from my neighbor, there's no way that I can go on to what God really wants me to do because I'm still entrenched in sin. So it is with the Sabbath command. If you do what you want, if you do your own pleasure, right? So it's not just work, it's taking that time and devoting it just for yourself, doing only what you want to do. Only what pleases you. So the scriptures don't just say work. If you read Isaiah, it's about doing your pleasure on the Sabbath day. So we have to refrain. We have to stop doing that. We have to recognize that the Lord's day belongs to the Lord. It's his day. He determines what we do on that day. And he's not doing it for selfish reasons for himself. It's for our well-being. But, of course, we don't always see that. If I can get ahead in my work, I feel good about that. If I earn more money on the Sabbath day, then I feel good about that. I feel more secure. I feel I got more money in the bank. I feel I'm ahead of other people. But all such thinking is foolishness. It's absolute foolishness. We have to set aside that work. And we have to focus our minds on the work that Christ has already done for us. We have to rest. We have to be confident. We have to celebrate that which Christ has done. That finished work. And as Hebrews puts it, we have to enter into that rest. We have to enjoy that rest. We have to celebrate that rest. We have to embrace that rest. We have to stand squarely on that rest and know that it will stand for eternity. Nothing that you accomplish on the Sabbath day of working to improve yourself is ever going to make a squat of difference in eternity. But the work of the Lord Jesus Christ stands absolutely firm. And people can get all engrossed in, you know, what is work, and they want to get down to the nitty-gritty and just to confuse the whole issue. But there's no confusion in what God told Jeremiah. They're not to engage in work. They're not to engage in commerce. You're not to carry a burden in or out of Jerusalem. All commerce has to stop. And it was enforced. And so that's the way we need to think. We need to set aside our work and trust in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We're to, just as we rest in the work of creation that God has given us, and we enjoy the creation, so it is with salvation. We don't add to our salvation. We don't tinker with it. We don't add our works to it. No, we embrace it with all of our heart, and we trust it. But as I said, it's not just work. We're to refrain from our pleasure. You know, sometimes I think if the Sabbath day were viewed as a journey to heaven, one day in seven, the doors of heaven are opened and we're allowed to go in there. I mean, how many would say, we only have to go there for an hour, then we can come back? I mean, is that what we would say? As though it was some sort of duty that we have to do. And once it's done, we leave. Well, that's like our employment, isn't it? Even though some employment people really enjoy and time just flies, right? But that's not the way we're to view fellowship with God. I mean, we want to stay there. We don't want to leave. We want to behold His face. We want to reflect on all that He's done for us. And we want to engage in praising Him and honoring Him for all that He has done, even as we've seen in Revelation. Every time we go have a scene of heaven, it's God is being praised and worshipped. If we saw it in that light, it would be a very strange thing, as I said, for people to think, well, we only have to go once. I mean, why do we have to go twice? Just go there and then leave. No. It's a foretaste of heaven itself. That's what the Sabbath command is. It's a foretaste of our eternal glory. Surely, eternal glory is not something that we will enjoy for a little while and then go and do our own thing and then come back and enjoy it again and then go and do our thing. No. No, absolutely not. It's what makes our heart ache. It's why we pray and hasten the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we will be with Him forever and enjoy Him and all that He has done for us. Would you think to take your phone along? A book maybe to read if you got bored? No, we wouldn't. Because we would be so overwhelmed by the beauty and the glory of heaven and God and of the Lamb. And we would be totally engrossed. That's what the Sabbath is for. That's how we should view the Sabbath. A drawing closer to our God. Forgetting about the things of this world, that they become, as a chorus puts it, they become strangely dim in the light of His glory, in the light of His love. People of God, the Sabbath is something that we need to rediscover in terms of its preciousness, in terms of its blessing upon each and every one of us. For all that it represents, for all that it holds for us in eternity. But now we get a foretaste of it. And as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter that rest. But it's not a full entering of that rest. In other words, we don't enjoy the full extent of salvation here in this life. We make a beginning, but we don't get all of it. But when we enter heaven, then it comes in its fullness. This is just a foretaste. But if the foretaste is something that we do very quickly and we really don't have our hearts in it, then heaven is going to be a difficult place for us, because we're not going to find it a joy, because the Sabbath wasn't a joy for us. It wasn't a joy for us to draw close to God and to reflect upon Him. because our mind was somewhere else. We wanted to do other things. That's what the scriptures, of course, even though when people were there worshiping God, as in Isaiah 1, their hearts were far away. And we're not, I mean, we haven't even addressed that issue where people come faithfully, but really their hearts are not in it. They're not really enjoying God's presence. They're just fulfilling a duty. And you know what Isaiah says about that? God detests that worship. It isn't worship at all. He doesn't hear the words that we speak. He shuts his ears because there's no veracity to them. There's nothing that backs up those words. No. The Sabbath is something that we need to cherish. Sabbath is something that we need to celebrate. Sabbath is something that we need to enjoy. We need to glory in the Sabbath. We need to take a delight in the Sabbath. It ought not to be viewed as a chore. It's not something that we need to look at the Sabbath and say, oh no, you know, it's a boring day. Just let's get back to Monday so we can get busy again. No, no. It ought to be the best day of the week. The best day of the week. Where we can come apart from the world. And without being interfered with, we can focus our minds on our Creator and all that He has done for us. And just look around and see. Because we don't always appreciate it. So often we take it for granted. We enjoy all of these blessings and we don't bring thanksgiving to God for them. And at times, we even congratulate ourselves. Oh, I've done this. But we haven't. We haven't. God has given it to us. And free of charge at that. And we've mentioned that many times in terms of looking at creation. And the beauty of it. The majesty of it. The extent to which God has gone overboard, if we can even speak in that way, in providing for us more than the need that we have, but way, way more and over the bare necessities of life. And so as we look at creation, we thank God that He loved us so much, that He gave all of this for us. And then, of course, going on, in terms of redemption, well, then we're lost for words. We don't know what words are we going to choose out of human language to be able to express the gratitude for what God has done for us through His Son, by giving His Son, of not sparing His Son, but pouring forth on Him the condemnation that we richly deserve. I mean, the drama of the cross is something that is a total mystery to us. He who had no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. God punished the righteous for the unrighteous. He died for the ungodly. He had done nothing wrong, but He took your sins upon Himself. And there He didn't speak a word. Just like a lamb led to the slaughter, He opened not His mouth. Even though He had every argument under the sun that He could have brought. But no. He gave Himself. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, I got tons of stuff to do than to be busy with this stuff. I don't want to go down to earth and dirty myself with these sinners who reject me anyway and despise me. I don't want to do that. God gave all of His attention to this work. Everyone was focused on this work. All the angels in heaven looked and inquired into these things. The prophets looked towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a drama that surpassed anything in all of this creation. And the Father responded by saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And the Lord Jesus Christ, with all the energy and all the love that He had, took upon Himself your sin and mine, and said, it is finished. People of God, God gave attention to this work. He gave himself for this work. And that's what we celebrate. That's what we need to take delight in. That's something that ought to occupy our minds, as it does in heaven, as we pointed out this morning. That's what they sing. It's the song of salvation. There's not many, many songs that they pick from. No, it's one song, and they can't get past it. The redemption of God's people. That's what we need to focus on. That's what needs to drive us. That's what needs to motivate us to keep the Sabbath day holy, to be in attendance with God's people, to surround his throne with the praises of his people. People ought to know, in the manner in which we worship and the eagerness with which we worship, how wonderful and precious the gospel is. But if it's a take it or leave it kind of thing, and you just go through the motions of it, that says a tremendous amount to unbelievers about what the gospel is. No, the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm willing to die for the gospel. I'm willing to be persecuted for the gospel. Because it's everything in the world to me. Now, if you want to take delight in the Sabbath, then take delight in the gospel. Take delight in what God has done for you. And express that. To keeping the Sabbath day holy. It means setting it apart for God. So when we're called to keep the Sabbath day holy, it means devoting it to the honor of God. That's what it means. Everything that we do on the Sabbath day, we need to see as intricately connected to God and who he is and what he's done for us. It's not about our pleasure. He's given us 6 days of the week to do our work, which he commands us to do, by the way. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh is to be set apart for God. And therefore we need to keep it holy. We need to, just as in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple when they had the utensils, they didn't take them home and eat out of them at home. They were totally devoted to the Lord. That's how we need to view the Sabbath day. It's totally for the Lord. And so we need to celebrate it. We need to keep it holy. We need to make sure that other things don't intrude into it, that we don't rob God of his day by taking great chunks of it to ourselves and leaving him, as I said, with maybe an hour and a half by going to the morning service, or even Saturday evening, by the way, so that we can have the whole day interrupted without interruption for ourselves. I mean, what an insult. That's like somebody's birthday is tomorrow, but we don't have time to go there. So we're going to, you know, maybe phone them up the night before, get it out of the way. What an insult. What an insult. No, it's the Lord's day that we need to keep holy. And we need to center our thoughts upon him and refrain from doing all of these other things and refrain from allowing the devil to occupy our minds and lead us off in other directions. No. We do it to honor the Lord. So we need to ask ourselves those questions rather than argue about it ourselves, justifying our own practices. We should use a self-check. Just ask yourself, am I honoring the Lord by what I'm doing? Is the Lord pleased? Is the Lord glorified in what I'm doing? Because it's all about him. And it's all about what he has accomplished for us. Of course, we will look next week in terms of the practice of it. But the Lord's Day should not be boring. I mean, that's the way people perceive it to be, that it's boring. But it shouldn't be boring. I mean, how is it boring focusing and filling our minds with the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking about all that he's done and thanking him for it and honoring him for it? I shouldn't be boring. I mean, if that's the case, heaven's going to be boring. And certainly it's not. But we need to be grateful for the Sabbath because it was designed for us. In other words, God made the Sabbath for man to be a blessing to him. It's not a chain and ball that he ties around our feet to rob us of joy. No, it's a gift to us. It's an aid for us to do what is right that will bless us and strengthen us and fill us with joy. We are the center. We are the focus in terms of the beneficiaries of the Sabbath day. God sent Moses to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, to command Pharaoh to let his people go, to be free. And what was the demand? That they be allowed to go and worship God. That's what they wanted. Let my people go so they may worship me. Why? Because God was so waiting and yearning to hear them praise him? No, because they needed it. They needed to come apart. They needed to go before God. They needed to take in his blessings. They needed to commune with him so that they could renew their strength. Even in the midst of persecution. If only they could worship God on the Sabbath day, their experience in Egypt would have been totally transformed. They could have sustained the bondage that they had in Egypt as long as they weren't separated from God in terms of being able to worship him. It was meant for us. It's meant for you. It's meant for me. We need this time. We need to have time to be able to think about salvation and to rejoice about salvation and remind one another about salvation. Because in the week, it's so easy for us to forget. So easy for the devil to cloud our minds and get us racing in all different directions. And we forget that we have a solid foundation. But he will get us to make a foundation for ourselves. Oh, you need more money. Oh, you need this. Oh, you need this. Oh, you need that. And he'll get us chasing one thing after another so that we forget what we have, which is what he did to Adam and Eve. In the fellowship that they had with God and the wonderful environment in which they had fellowship with God, he led them to pursue a goal that was absolutely unnecessary. Oh, you'll be like God. Oh, you know the... You know the knowledge of good and evil. You be like God. I mean, they had everything, and he got them chasing something else, which led to the downfall, which led to them losing all of these blessings. And that's what the devil continues to do today. Chase this, chase that. You need this, you need... I mean, that's the kind of world we live in, isn't it? You always have to create a need. Otherwise, you can't sell anything. So they create needs and get you chasing. And so you have to work harder to get enough money to buy the things that they say you absolutely need. That's what the devil does. And unless we have this Sabbath day to be reminded of our salvation, reminded that it's complete and solid, we will be more vulnerable to chasing those dreams that will never materialize. Even if we gain the whole world, the fact that we lose our soul is something that makes it all polluted. So you need that. You and I need that. And he's provided that for us. We have prosperity. That's what God says. If you do this, then you are going to be prosperous. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. Kings are going to come into your presence. People are going to come and they're going to bring thank offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. They're going to come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be the centerpiece. Everyone's going to flock to Jerusalem because God's blessing is there. Isn't that what we want? People to flock to the churches, to hear the gospel, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're out there with them chasing the dreams that they're chasing, they think we don't have anything here. We're just like them. But we need to stand as an example to them of the fact that we are on solid ground and God has blessed us abundantly. We're not trying to win God's favor. We have God's favor. We have fellowship with Him. What's the devil going to sell us when we have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ? We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What can the devil give to us beyond that? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But unless we know that, unless our minds are filled with that, again, we're going to be vulnerable to the devil leading us astray. For us to keep the Sabbath, for us to physically see as we meet with God's people that we are God's people. We are the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd. He is our Father in heaven. And He is covenanted with us to be our God and we to be His people. And we have a bright future. We have a glorious eternity. That's what we need to remind ourselves of each day. That's what the Sabbath does for us. And as I say, we need to rediscover the Sabbath. And we need to commend it to others. Not by forcing them. Not by making them feel guilty. That's what people say, you know. Even as I was doing the bulletin this week, I got an email. You're going to be speaking to the choir. You should do this in the morning. Preach it in the morning. Right? Thinking basically of the second service. And then I think, yes, they need to know. Of course they need to know. Through the preaching of God's word. But we don't want them coming because they feel guilty about it. No. The greatest witness that we can give to them is that they are missing out. That we are being blessed. And we want them to share in that blessing. Not that we are working hard and they need to be working hard with us. No. No, no, no. That's not the message we want to bring. This is such a blessing for us. And we want it for them too. So we want them to come because they love God. And they want to thank Him. And they want to enjoy His presence. Not because they want a tick mark from the elders of having come twice. Or for our church to say that we have a great turnout in the evening worship service. It's not about looks. It's about the heart. It's about our appreciation for what God has done and the joy that we have in His work. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that You've given us this day to take a breath and to be still. And to be amazed at what You have done and what is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. To taste of that good gift. To have in our hearts a longing and yearning for the day that we won't have to leave. But we will gaze into Your face and have unbroken fellowship with You for eternity and with one another. Now, Father in heaven, we pray that You would indeed turn the hearts of the fathers, of the children, of all believers to You, so that all of their life may be indeed one song of thanksgiving and praise. Now, Father in heaven, we pray that You would bless all of Your people, that You would prepare them for the week that is ahead. And our Father in heaven, we pray that there would be that longing and yearning to be back here in your presence with your people once again. Lord, we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Psalter hymnals, number 326.